was suddenly directed instead to Japan in order to stage for a landing in Korea, where war had broken out on June 25, 1950, between the Communist North and the United Nations backed south of the peninsula, which had been divided along the 38th parallel after World War II. In a lightning strike, the Soviet-backed North had invaded the South along a wide front, pushing the troops of the Republic of Korea into what became known as the Pusan Perimeter along the southeast coast. It looked for all the world that they would soon be overrun and shoved into the sea. At the time, there were few, if any, American forces in Korea. What was left of a rump American military presence in Asia was in Japan, where much of its materiel had been sold to the Japanese, including amphibious landing vehicles, LSTs. They had welded the drop fronts shut in order to use them as commercial barges. Assigned to a weapons company in the 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines, also known as the 2-5, the most decorated company in Marine Corps history, my father went ashore at Pusan in the midst of chaos. "Who's in command here?" he asked the first Marine he saw. "You are, sir," came the reply. In 100-degree heat and with artillery incoming, he jumped into a shell crater on the Obong Ni Ridge and found himself sharing space with a dead North Korean. Welcome to the war in Korea. My father, already a man at the age of 24, immediately took command and has never relinquished it, as no real man ever does, at least not willingly and except by death. So this book is a testament not only to him, but to the concept of manliness itself. The Marines and other Allied forces established control over the Pusan perimeter. Meanwhile, back in Washington, President Truman and his military commander, Douglas MacArthur, decided that the objective was not simply to push the North Koreans out of the South, but to liberate the North from communist influence. Just 5 years after Soviet troops demolished Berlin, it was the first hot battle of what became the Cold War, a war that would last for 39 years, ending only when the Berlin Wall fell and, 2 years later, the Soviet Union itself dissolved. An event that, as it happens, I witnessed in person, and I have a piece of the wall that I knocked out myself with a borrowed sledgehammer in my study to prove it. I brought it back to America in my carry-on. "Wer hat ein Stück Berliner Mauer?" asked the woman scanning the bags at Tegel Airport. "Ich," I replied, and everyone in the line cheered. Like many surprise attacks, the landing at Incheon on September 15, 1950, could have gone badly. Coming ashore in the concrete harbor, the Marines had to use wooden ladders to climb over the welded shut fronts of the LSTs, where they immediately faced withering fire from the entrenched North Korean troops. The casualty rate for Marine infantry officers in such a situation runs between 60% and 75% killed or wounded, owing to the Marine tradition of officers hitting the beach first. You're either a casualty and replaced, or you're the leader. My father's best friend, First Lieutenant Baldomero Baldy Lopez, the son of a Spanish immigrant, was captured in a memorable photograph clambering up a seawall from the LST next to my father's. The night before, Baldy had said, "John, I'm going to die tomorrow." He was shot in the arm and the chest as he was hurling a grenade. He smothered the pineapple with his body and was killed instantly, was later awarded the Medal of Honor. A reporter who witnessed the event later wrote, "He died with the courage that makes men great." And that was just the beginning of my father's baptism by fire, which went on to include the battle for Seoul, for the Marines the most harrowing and, to use the current term, traumatic battle of the war, and which he refuses to talk about to this day, even at age 94. Every civilian, even the Mama-sans, was a potential enemy combatant, and many was the Marine who died when a peasant woman deployed an AK-47 from beneath her skirts and shot him in the back. The Marines quickly learned to trust no one and to take no prisoners. Today, this might be called a war crime.